Good evening, friends, and welcome to Here's a Pioneer. This is the program, an interview brought to you every week at this time by the Pioneer Cab Company, featuring an interview with one of Alaska's distinguished old-timers. Tonight, our presentation is being wire-recorded at St. Joseph's Hospital, and we have as an interviewee Father Bellarmine LaFortune of the Society of Jesus. Now, Father LaFortune is best known for his good work in the vicinity of King Island and the Diomedes. Father LaFortune, will you tell me how old you are?
Right now, I am 78.
You're now 78 years of age, and how old were you when you came to Alaska?
About 34.
About 34 years of age. What year was that?
In 1903.
Will you tell me, are you a member of the Pioneers of Alaska?
I became a member of the Pioneers of Alaska when Father Hubbard and his friends passed the winter in King Island. I am what they call an honorary member. And they asked me if I would join the club, and I said yes, all right, since you want to accept me. I had no other record but my being in Alaska for a long time, that's all. And they accepted me as one of their members.
Well, I should imagine that would certainly be sufficient recommendation. What igloo do you belong to? From what city? Is it Nome or Fairbanks?
Nome.
From Nome. Nome. Mm-hmm. Well, I can think of a lot of questions, Father LaFortune, that I would like to ask you, and I particularly appreciate the opportunity to conduct this interview with you. Where was your home, down in the States, or was it in Canada?
My home was in Canada, in Quebec.
And you left there at the age of 34 and came to Alaska in 1903. What city was your first home up here?
And that was Nome.
Well, you shouldn't call it a city, I imagine. More like a village at that time. What was Nome like?
No, they called that a town.
It was a town, huh? What was Nome like in 1903?
Well, like a large village, and nothing but that, a large village, and stores, and so on and so on, all what constituted a village. There were stores, and there was a courthouse, and there was a jail, and there was everything. It constituted a full-fledged village. It was not very large. It was about, the population was about, at the most, 2,000.
Were most of those white men or
white,
natives?
Most white. Uh-huh. Most of them.
Yeah. Now, how long did you stay in Nome?
I stayed in Nome. No, more or less, and around. I was not stationed in Nome alone. I had all the country around.
Oh, I see. You were in and out of Nome, and it's rather difficult to figure.
That was rather my headquarters. More, and then the country around was Council and the Kugelhok and the Cape Prince of Wales, and then later on the islands and so on.
The islands, you mean King Island and the Diomedes?
Especially those two. They were the only ones.
When you visited the natives of that area, as far back as 1903, did you find them to be a particularly happy people?
Yes, they were happy people. They were not miserable. They lived nicely, and they had pretty decent homes, and they behaved, but then I said they were happy people.
Their contact had been with whalers, principally, up to that time, hadn't
it? Yes, well, mostly.
And that had been going on for how many years? Perhaps 50?
Oh, that whaling, how long would that whaling business, I don't know. Maybe 50 years or anything else.
Were many of the natives at that time English-speaking?
Well, I could not call that name. They knew quite a few words of English in order to fight their battle, to buy their outfit and so on, but that's all. They could not read English. They could not write English either. They had heard white people speak, and they learned words that way. They could trade with the whites.
On the basis of your long experience with the natives in that area, Father LaFortune, would you say that the population over there is increasing or decreasing?
The population, on account of the sicknesses that came now and then, the population is pretty well at a standstill. But if there are many years without sicknesses, they increase. The population is increasing. The average family number is 5. That means that they increase.
Uh-huh. Now, is tuberculosis more prevalent there now than it was?
Well, I don't know how it was then, but it is pretty badly prevalent then. No, it's pretty prevalent. Out of 100 natives who die, I would say that 95 die of tuberculosis.
95 out of 180 die of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of any particularly bad epidemics in the early days?
There are two bad epochs, in 1900 and 1918. 1900 was universal, all along the coast, and we don't know yet where that thing was coming from. And in 1900, that was especially around Nome, what they call the flu, in 1918. But in 1900, we don't know where it came from, but it was universal. It destroyed Alaska.
Well, what was the nature of the disease, and did it affect the white man as well as the native?
No, they did not affect the white man at all. In Nome, out of 1,000 would die, perhaps one white man, perhaps. One, that's all.
Only one, huh?
Only one. And the natives say that the white man took care of them and so on and so on, and still they did not die. But the natives died, but they like flies all over. Mm-hmm. And this coast of Alaska.
Now, will you tell me something of the means of livelihood of the people over in that area, the King Islanders and those who live on the Little Diomede and Big Diomede?
Well, their means of livelihood are the sea, hunting, and then the birds in summer, their eggs and so on, and the greens that they collect in big quantity for themselves in winter. They keep those things, those meats, most of the time by freezing in kind of cold storage that they have. They're natural or made cold storage. They keep their meat that way, and their greens, they keep them in oil, and they make big quantities of them. They have been analyzed by specialists, and they are considered as very, very good for their health. And naturally, without knowing why, but they make great big provisions of them.
I see. Do these people have any particular travel ambitions? For instance, do they have any desire to see a town like Fairbanks or Seattle?
Well, they would have the desire if they could afford it. They come to Nome for that. They want to see those new things. They come to Nome and they look at the stores and the display in the stores and all those things, and they are very much attracted by that. That's one of the attractions of the towns.
I imagine when they come to Nome, they like to ride in a truck or an automobile, too.
If they can do it, yes, I should say. And even in a plane. Some of them use planes now. Some of them use planes to come from Diomede to King Island, from Teller to Nome, and so on. They use planes.
On the basis of your experience, have these natives had any contact with natives of Siberia?
They had, oh yes, they knew one another. As a matter of fact, there are families that were born in Diomede and they live in Siberia now, and vice versa. Every year they go across to visit one another, and then they trade also certain things with one another.
Are there some villages over on the other side?
Siberia, yes. There is East Cape, and there is place where they have the center of the Russians there, about 20 miles northwest.
Are they as well populated as the villages over on the American side?
That I could not tell you that. I was never there, and I was not very much acquainted with them, but I know that there are villages there. And what is that center of the Russians there in Siberia? Whelan, that's it. The big, Whelan is the heart of the Russians in Siberia.
Well, that certainly is interesting. Now, will you list some of the outstanding talents of the King Island natives?
Their talents are carvers, hunters, hide workers, namely slippers and things of the kind, work hide, all kinds of hide, and boat makers. Their boats are unbeaten. They can beat those boats. Some white people, sailors, knowing boats perfectly, examined their skin boats and their kayaks, and they say, we cannot understand how those people, not knowing the art of navigation, could build boats and so perfectly.
And didn't you say, too, that they have a very great degree of mechanical aptitude?
Oh, yes. They like to take things apart, like just like children, things apart, put them together again, and then they build them. They may, if they have the outfit, they can repair a tool perfectly.
They are good at imitating as the Japanese.
That's it. Imitate anything. Give them anything and they will imitate it. And sometimes they will make it better than the model.
Speaking of the natives of that area, I believe you recalled an incident in connection with the King Island chief's daughter.
Yes. Yes, I recall that day. That moved the whole village, the whole camp. And if you want, I can relate to you that incident.
Will you do that, please?
Yes. Well, that daughter Alice was a little girl, about 7 or 8 years old at the most. She was bright for her age, but not over bright. And she got sick. She got sick because she got pneumonia. And she got lower. And one day, the old chief presented her with the clock, the little alarm clock. And the little girl understood the number, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and she understood that. And they told her, what hour do you want to die? And the little girl pointed her finger right at 3 o'clock. And that was amazing for the whole bunch. Why did she pick that 3 instead of the others? Of course, this girl had been instructed, and she knew that our Lord had died on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they put 2 and 2 together, and they said, now that's wonderful. She wants to die at the same hour. And she died at the same hour. And that shook the whole village.
Well, that,
speak of that even now.
Well, that is certainly very interesting, Father LaFortune. Did you have any contact with explorers in that area?
The only contact I had with was with Emerson. I met him in Norman, met him in Fairbanks, in Marysville and the Springs, before he went away for his last trip with Mobilee. And the other explorers, no. Amundsen, well, I was acquainted with my troubles, but when he came and landed in Nome, I did not know the man. Only afterwards we asked him where he was coming from, and this and that, and we found out it was Amundsen. That's the only chance that I had to meet an explorer.
What was your means of traveling to the early day missions?
Well, the boats and dogs and ladies.
Now, what was the fastest trip that you ever made by dog teams?
Well, if I remember well, that was one of the last trips that I ever took. It was from Teller to Nome. That's considered as 90 miles. It was at the end of the season, and I did not want to be caught in Teller. And I hitched up. That took me about 9 hours to make the trip. Of course, not necessary to say that dogs were tired. And that time I was tired too, but that was the last trip.
Father LaFortune, how many times have you gone to the States?
I did not go once.
Do you have any desire to return to the States or Canada?
Well, no special desire, and I am no use anymore. I'm too old, and no matter where I die now, that's immaterial.
If you had this life in the Northland to live over again, would you choose it again?
In the same circumstances, yes. I wish it again. I don't regret it.
I imagine there has been many a satisfaction, particularly in the work that you've accomplished.
Yes, that's especially for that. That's not for the money-making, but for the work that I wanted to. That's all. I wanted to train those people. They were honored for a purpose, and they learned it. They learned it.
Well, thank you ever so much, Father LaFortune. Friends, you've listened to an interview which has been recorded by wire recorder at St. Joseph's Hospital with Father Bellarmine LaFortune of the Society of Jesus, who is 78 years old. Father LaFortune is best known for his work on King Island and that area. You've listened to another presentation of Here's a Pioneer, which is brought to you by the Pioneer Cab Company each Wednesday evening at 7:30.